Welcome to Unscripted Wrestling.
That ball is just a neck, running up on the kill. You don't believe it, but I'm betting that you will. No, I'll let you live a little bit with the pain that I bring. You know it's only the beginning. Clap up, look at the next one, then I'm about to kill. You don't believe it, but I'm betting that you will. Clap up, I'll let you live a little bit with the pain that I bring. You know it's only the beginning. Stop breaking, I'm a hit inside you. Stop making the monster high you. I'm breaking, I'm a hit inside you.
Go ahead. Welcome to Unscripted Wrestling.
Killing me, Eric. Welcome to Unscripted Wrestling. I'm with Eric, the host, and also the co-host, me and Ducky, and I think Clemens will be joining us. And we are basically going to be reviewing. Welcome to the show, Clemens.
Oh, thanks. How you going, man?
Good.
Pretty good. So, yeah, we're going to be reviewing. This has been pretty much one of the best weeks to be a wrestling fan. You know, SmackDown premiering on Fox. If a lot of you guys just watched what happened, well, that kind of sucked. But we'll get to that. AEW, great first show. I think, Eric, you were saying you want to spend a lot of time on that, right?
Yes.
We'll also touch on NXT a little bit. Oh, yeah.
And
spend some time on NXT.
And
we'll
go all around, too. No.
Yeah. So, what do you want to get into first, Eric?
We'll do Raw first. I mean, I didn't watch much of Raw, but I think Doug did, so.
Daniel, do you want to do the plugs first?
Yeah, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, great show. Friend of our show. Doug will hit you with the times and make sure to check in with them. Make sure to listen to Wrestling with Reality with our buddy John.
Jonathan.
Make sure to listen to Eric's other show, the Philly Passion podcast, sports, and make sure to keep listening to this show on Scripted Wrestling. We are usually every either Friday or Saturday. We're going to have a lot more shows coming to you. Yeah. We'll be doing a doubleheader basically tonight and tomorrow, so that's exciting. And so what are those times for Dirt Sheet Dudes, Doug?
All right, so the Dirt Sheet Dudes are on every Wednesday night, 9:30 Eastern time. You can catch them live on Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. if you can't catch them live, you can catch them on Spreaker.com, on Mixler, or on iTunes, on Apple, you know, all podcast platforms. And then every other Saturday, they do a movie show called The Hollywood Hangout, also on Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. Yeah, I believe they will be doing the show tomorrow night, probably around the same time that we're going to be doing our show.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So try to listen to both.
Yeah, make sure you have two devices with you so you can listen to one on one and listen to the other one on the other device. Yeah. Daniel, take it from here, please.
Okay. So I figured since Eric, you really want to get into AEW, when we get to there, we'll do segment to segment. We'll cover the whole show, and the others will kind of just do highlights. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's fine. That's pretty much what I figured we'd do.
Okay. So Raw was
– Yeah, I
scheduled
for an hour and a half,
get...
so we don't have to rush.
Yeah, right. So, Clemens, did you catch Raw?
Yeah, I caught Raw. I caught Raw. DVR'd it and rewatched it from the beginning. And
what'd you think?
To me, I thought it was slow. I mean, out of all three premiere shows, I got home in time to watch like the last half hour of SmackDown. which is good. I'm about to watch some of SmackDown now while we're actually on a podcast. On my DVR. Yeah, I had to. So, but Raw was out of the four shows, I lost count on how many shows. I will say Raw had to be like the lowest rating I would have given it off. I mean, it didn't really knock it out of the park as I was looking forward to it, as it was built up to be. None of it from the beginning. And then especially the ending was just dumb. I'm sorry. It was awful.
Yeah, it was stupid. I like the Ric Flair Hulk Hogan thing for what it was. I mean, I think at a certain age, you really need to stop showing up. But, you know, it was a nice nostalgia act, and it was great seeing them in the ring again. You know, talk and do what they do.
Yeah.
But what was your favorite moment of Raw? If you had to pick a favorite, Kenneth and then Doug and Eric, what's the moment that stood out to you?
I think the moment that really stood out to me was because it really wasn't. I think it's made me wonder, what are they planning on doing with this so-called Rusev storyline, and how they have Bobby Lashley showing up now with his wife Lana, and then those two making out together, ending the show. I'm not sure if you saw any posts or any of the tweets, but it was an old Lance Storm tweet that he went out and sent out to Rusev, saying that, I remember when I started, I was in the wrestling business and wanted to do a storyline like they're doing now with him and Lana, with his wife, and now he's wanting a divorce. I mean, what's really going on there? That's the only thing. I'm like, when I saw that tweet, I'm like, wow, this is really, are you trying to really bury Rusev because he wants to leave and this is how they're going to do it, or what? Because I'm getting the wrong whatsoever.
I mean, I think to save this, they need to have a match and Rusev's got to kick Bobby Lashley's ass. But what do you think about all this, Doug? Do you think it's stupid or you like it? Because this has Heyman all over it.
It has Heyman all over it, but I'm not necessarily a fan. First of all, I'm not a fan of one man stealing another man's wife. They've done it so many times where, you know, one man has attempted to steal another man's wife.
Vincent Mann.
But it's like, here's the thing, is that like with Lashley, it just looks so stupid. And to be honest with you, the fact that Rusev no-sold it, because if you looked at Rusev the whole time, if that would have been me, I would have run up that ramp and went to kick that guy's ass. Rusev didn't move. Rusev just looked like confused, like, why is she here?
Yeah.
So the fact that Rusev just like looked like, you know, what the fuck am I supposed to do? I'm just like, to me, that was just stupid.
Yeah.
Doug, can I ask something? What did you think? Did you see any, like, go back on this week and watch, like, the cutting angles about everybody, how everybody else reacted to it? Not only Randy Orton and Baron Corbin, how they just started busting out laughing, and then you saw that look on Seth Rollins' face before Seth Rollins, like, look of shock when he saw it, and then they cut on to, like, other people in the crowd. But did you actually get a chance to see, or any of you guys get to see that video clip they showed on WWE.com?
I watched a little bit of it, I think. I saw Randy Orton and Corbin's faces. But first of all, Randy Orton can't keep a straight face worth shit. Okay, Randy's never been able to keep a straight face. But, like, the thing is that, like, I know that Heyman was kind of going for shock value. But, like, if you really think about it, and I know I'm more than likely going to get us into some trouble here, but I'm, you know, been tipping a few back, so I really don't give a shit right now. But Lana is kind of slutty to begin with. So the fact that she's letting it, that she's putting her tongue down another guy's throat really isn't surprising. So it's just like, to me, like, you know, if people have those shocked look on their faces, it's just like, you know, it's really not that shocking. Lana and Daniel, you might want to stop me before the words come out of my mouth.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, bud. But Lana basically is very slutty. And, you know, that's all there is to it. So the fact that she's, you know, kissing another guy, it's not surprising. I'm just surprised that she's not, you know, getting porked by a few other ones.
Yeah. I just think it was stupid for, like, the last segment, you know, because that seems like a mid-card thing. So for that to happen during a title match just seemed off to me.
Yeah, and it's a go-home show, too, so.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why they felt like they needed Bray to come out there and save the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, they had Bray come out there and save the whole thing. I do agree with you. It should have been saved for the middle of the show. I mean, I'm going to go on record and basically say that Seth Rollins should have lost the Universal title on Monday because I don't think he should be the champion heading into Hell in a Cell.
So you think he's going to lose this Sunday at a Hell in a Cell to Bray Wyatt?
He has to. You realize that the corner they backed themselves. All right, let me ask. And Daniel, I know you're the moderator here, and you're supposed to be asking the questions, but
no, go ahead. This is a free show.
All right, but let me ask all you guys this: Do you guys remember Hell in a Cell 2012 with Ryback and Punk?
Oh man, yeah. That's like one of the best. I think this one, Ryback was like on the edge to Stardom. Slowly got his push because John Cena didn't want to enter the Hell in a Cell with Punk because of his injured elbow or something.
Yeah, me and Doug talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And here's the thing. They're doing to Wyatt what they did to Ryback. They're pushing him too far, too fast. And Wyatt is over right now. The Fiend Bray Wyatt.
And it's
Wyatt.
The Fiend, too. So.
Yeah. I mean, and personally, I don't like the whole Pee-wee Wyatt thing, you know, where he thinks he's Pee-wee Herman. And I don't know how many times, and Clintus, I don't mean to be a spoiler for you, but I don't know how many times he could kill that fucking rabbit before it just gets old on the Firefly Funhouse.
I kind of love the Firefly Funhouse. I'm telling you, I think it's one of the best skits Raw has. I love the Firefly Funhouse, so
It's over to a point. I think there is some humor to it, and I do like it, but the fact that they keep killing that fucking rabbit every episode, it's like he's like the Kenny, Kenny from South Park. It's like, yeah, the Ramblin' Rabbit. Like, he dies every fucking episode of the Funhouse.
It's overkill. Right,
how many times can you fill up? How many times? I can't even talk right now. Somebody help me.
How many times can he kill a rat?
Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome.
But, like, the thing is that, like, all right, so my original point, which I think I was trying to get to, was the whole, with the Ryback thing, you know, that match basically, I mean, they had no other choice. They had to do to Ryback what they were doing to him. They backed themselves into a corner. Bray Wyatt should not be getting a title shot this early.
Who do you think should be?
Well, I think it, what they wanted to do was, like, slowly push Bray Wyatt onto everybody. And I think it's the tweet that he sent it out. Bray Wyatt still saying how he wanted to challenge the one in a Hell in a Cell. Wanted to challenge the winner of the Braun Strowman-Seth Rollins match. He actually sent that tweet out before he actually inducted it into the storyline itself. Like, he actually sent it out. And then I think that's when they finally ran with it. And so, and 2 weeks later or a week later, on the front house, he had Mr. Man Puppet come out and saying how disappointed he was in way of challenging either Seth or Braun for a Universal title inside Hell in a Cell. And I think that's exactly why.
Speaking of Braun Strowman, it kind of did the same thing with Braun Strowman. It did Ryback. Braun Strowman was over, what, a year and a half ago? And they never gave him the title. They failed there.
That's true.
I'm out.
And I think they might do that with Bray, because Bray has to win the title. If Bray doesn't win the title, but Bray has to win the belt this Sunday. If Bray doesn't win the title, then it's going to... Yeah, that was stupid. I mean, we'll get to that, because that was 8 months of a build for Kofi Kingston just to make him look like shit in 5 seconds.
That's why I'm not even a big Kofi fan.
Oh, man. I have ideas with that one, so I have a whole lot of rants for that one.
I love Kofi. But, we'll definitely get to that. Raw, I mean, Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins, the thing is we're saying how they booked themselves into a wall, but we're all excited to see it. So in a way, they're doing their job. I mean, I don't know if the match will deliver, if it won't, but I think we're all kind of amped for that match. At least I am.
I think it'll be a great match. I don't know how they're going to get themselves out of this one. Although, I think they need to put the title on Bray Wyatt, and, you know, in order to keep this going. That's the only thing that's going to keep them from really, you know, killing the character. See, Seth Rollins is already kind of like dead in the water. I mean, yes, he is the champion. Yes, he beat Brock Lesnar, but I don't think it matters if he loses or not, because he's still going to be the guy. You know, he's engaged to Becky Lynch. He's still going to put on great matches no matter what. But
yeah.
This is a make or break for Bray.
Yeah, because last time he was champion lasted a month, right?
Right, because they needed the transition over to Randy.
He was a transition champion. So, to make up for that, they need to put the belt on for Bray until WrestleMania, in my opinion.
Well, and that's good, but, I mean, what they need to do is that Bray needs to beat the shit out of Seth Rollins in the South.
So, pretty much what Brock did to Kofi.
No, it needs to go more than 5 seconds.
Yeah, I know that, but you know what I'm saying. You mean pretty much what Brock did to John Cena a few years ago.
All right. So even though I'm, about, 75 sheets to the wind right now, I'm going to drop a little knowledge on you. There was a Hell in a Cell match. You guys might remember it. It was back on August 24th, 1998. It was Kane and Mankind. It was on an episode of Raw.
Yes, I remember. I remember.
I am so proud of you. but all right, it was Kane and Mankind. It was a Hell in a Cell on the episode. Mankind barely got any offense in that match. Kane beat the shit out of him.
Mankind wanted a match, but then again, he also wanted. They was also the tag team champions too.
Correct.
I think King, Taker wanted was trying to join forces with King.
Right. Exactly. That's when they joined forces, and they had the match, and Kane beat the shit out of Mankind. I don't think Mankind got any offense in whatsoever. Kane beat the shit out of him. That's what needs to happen on Sunday. The Fiend needs to beat the shit out of Seth Rollins, obviously win the match. Seth can maybe get like one or two things of offense, and that's it.
Really?
Let me ask you this. Do they end the show with that? Or do they end the show with the women?
You know they're going to end it with the women.
With that. Okay.
Go ahead, Glenn.
I have a question. Yeah, I have a question. Doug, you talking about the Undertaker, Kane and Mankind. What about the very first one, if you really want to talk about it? The Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. I'm not sure if you saw, like, I just watched the Untold Story of, like, the debut of King and how they said how they made Michaels was supposed to, at the first time of the film, was supposed to enter that match, and it was supposed to actually get beaten up. He was playing for him to get a beating. Now, you're talking about someone taking a beating in Seth Rollins. You think it should be along that lines of Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, first Hell in a Cell match?
Yeah, I mean, if they want to do something, like if they want to have somebody kind of get involved and be like, you know, and kind of, you know, just appear out of nowhere and help Seth Rollins beat Bray after Bray beats the shit out of him, and, you know, Seth wins by a fluke, I still think that's going to hurt Bray, but it won't hurt him as much as long as Bray gets the title at some point.
It could have been Finn Balor, but that's
yeah. We'll get to that if I don't pass out before then.
Daniel, make sure he doesn't pass out.
I'm in
Daniel's nowhere near me right now.
Okay.
If he falls through the stairs, I'll let you know. But, we got other big Raw moments, guys. I mean, a lot happened. Heavy Machinery lost to Rude and Ziggler for the tag titles. AJ Styles.
How over is Otis right now?
Yeah. Heavy Machinery is a good team. And they're finally getting over. What?
Brock destroyed Mysterio and his son, though.
So. Yeah.
That's pretty much all I saw.
That was almost hard to watch. But I think it was good.
Yes. He got heat, so that's what he was supposed to do. And they set up for what happened tonight.
I agree. I mean, Raw was good. I mean, it was okay for what it was. For a season premiere, I was expecting a little more. But overall, what rating would you guys give it out of 10? I would go 6.
I'll give it no rating because I didn't really watch it. So.
I'll give it a 4. I mean, to watch back, I tried watching it from, and I just really got, it was not, like, it nothing really, really stand out to me. Especially, I was really disappointed at the whole Sasha and then Becky Lynch storyline. I'm happy they finally gave Becky back her steam for her intro. That was awesome. But the whole having Sasha look like she's a big, tough person, but always running when Becky Lynch comes to the ring. It's just getting old.
Yeah.
Dougie?
Okay. I'm gonna give it a 6 out of 10 like you, Daniel, and I'm gonna do it for two reasons. Two great wrestling matches. Ricochet and Cesaro and AJ and Cedric.
Yes.
Okay. Those were two really good matches that if those matches didn't happen, I don't think anybody would give a fuck about this show.
I heard a lot of negativity about the show, though.
I mean, I did too. I mean, but here's the thing. I don't give a damn about anybody else's opinion except for my own and for the and for anybody that does the show with us.
I agree.
Right? I don't give a fuck about what other podcasters say. I don't give a fuck what any people on Twitter say. I care about what I say, and I care about what you guys say because we all do this show together.
Oh, thanks, Doug.
That's understandable. All right, guys, okay. You want to get in that AEW right away, or you want to go to NXT?
We'll do NXT. All
right. I didn't really watch it. I saw Riddle and Cole, so someone might take over.
I was the same way. I didn't have a chance to rewatch it.
I didn't really rewatch it either. I told myself, it's like, I'm not going to waste time because they put it on the network the next day at 8 o'clock at night. It's right there on the network. I didn't get a chance to, but I did, like, skim through, like, the big Finn Balor return. Announced how he returned. He decided to go back to NXT. And also the Tommaso Ciampa.
Ciampa. I called that. You're a nice Doug.
Don't ask Doug anything
right now.
He also made his return back to NXT too. So that's something I'm really happy to see. I mean, it's kind of hard to follow NXT knowing that it's on the network. And I think in this waiting war with AEW versus NXT, I think with NXT being like live on USA one day, and then them being able to, like, put it right on the network on Thursday nights, it's going to really hurt them because it's like, whoever has a network, who's really going to watch NXT live and sit through commercials where we can watch AEW and then wait the next day and watch NXT?
Exactly.
I totally agree with that point. I was saying the same thing with Doug because Doug was telling me, he's like, well, we got to flip it. We got to see what happens in both. Dude, we can just fucking watch NXT on the network later. We only get one shot to watch AEW.
It replaced after.
Totally agree.
But I get your point.
I mean, and I agree with that, too. But here's the thing. Like, I watched a lot of the NXT highlights on YouTube. So I am excited for a couple of things. First of all, I mean, and this is going to be very underrated because it's going to be a mid-card feud, but I give a damn about this because I like both guys, and that's Pete Dunne and Damian Priest. Damian Priest, who's a former Punishment Martinez.
Oh.
And the fact that they're going to start something, you know, makes me happy because I'm a huge fan of both guys. So, you know, I look forward to that. You know, the fact that Tommaso Ciampa, and I've been a huge fan of Tommaso Ciampa for a long time, since his days back in Ring of Honor. But I think I think he's a better bad guy because, he lives up to the name the Sicilian Psychopath because he'll beat up anybody.
Yeah.
So the fact that, you know, if they transition him into a babyface, I'm not necessarily going to buy it that much.
I don't know if he's a baby. I think he's more of a tweener.
Well, and you know what? That can help him, though. Him being a tweener because people, like, even when he was a heel, people necessarily didn't like him, but they respected him because he admitted that he was such a piece of garbage.
And I wonder if they're going to go back to him and Johnny at some point.
Oh, they will.
I don't know if that storyline is actually finished.
Well, that's the money match.
Yeah.
But let me just say, and I'll get you guys' opinions on this, Finn Balor going back to NXT is fucking stupid.
Yeah. I didn't see that coming. No.
I know a star, but I think what they really wanted to do before sitting him down was, I think, before AEW come on a lot, they wanted to actually, they were talking about having starting an invasion angle with, I think Vince wanted an invasion angle, another one, but with the young, well, like the younger breed of NXT and the main roster, like trying to evade NXT. And I think Triple H wasn't going to have it, thank God, because this is dumb. But then going back to NXT, because he's not really being used on the main roster. I mean, if you think about it, Finn Balor is the first Universal Champion. Yes, he had to forfeit it, but it took him nearly, what, three or four years? He just got his rematch, technically a rematch, against Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble this year for that Universal title.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, he technically just really got his rematch this year for the Universal title. I mean, anything else? Even using Finn as a mid-carder.
Yeah.
Not needing any. But, and I think with Adam Cole and the Undisputed Era holding all the gold, I think if you send Finn down there along with Tommaso Ciampa and have them, all three of them, like, especially with War Games coming up, I think it's going to be like an interesting three-way dance or feud going right then and there for that NXT title.
And now that the Cruiserweight title, now that the Cruiserweight title is in NXT, maybe I would like to see Johnny Gargano versus Finn Balor. That's kind of a dream match I'd like to see. What do you guys think?
I'm still here.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
here's the thing for me is that I personally think that the Finn Balor just being there, Finn Balor's just going to have the match with Adam Cole. He's going to put Cole over, and then he's going to go back to the main roster.
Yeah,
Feeling. Yeah, Daniel, do you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. He's not going to stay on NXT for long. They just needed him to go there just so they can, just so they have something to shock the people to try to get them to tune from AEW to NXT. Well, it didn't work in this house because I didn't have the remote. Okay.
You got to text for me.
AEW was too hot.
I had to text Doug.
Right. Well, we kind of saw it anyway because I was actually able to get him to flip back because it was on AEW was on commercial. He saw Baylor on NXT. He's like, "Oh, this is stupid," and then flipped it back to AEW. And I'm like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Wait, Doug. Let me ask
Good
you
job,
a question. Dougie.
Yeah.
Who won the ratings war this week?
AEW.
There you go. So obviously it didn't fucking work.
No, it didn't work. I mean, that was the thing. I mean, that's what they were trying to do, yes. But did it work? No. And it did not work because more people wanted to see what AEW was going to do.
Listen, I love Finn Balor, and I do agree with Glennis, and I think it brings eyes to the product, and I appreciate that. But to me, NXT is still developmental. Even though you have a lot of stars on there, I can see Finn Balor main eventing a WrestleMania one day. I think he's that big of a star. I know he's been floating around the mid-card, but that's just because they haven't used him right. He can be big money. So to me, yeah, sending him back to NXT, it's kind of it's a kick in the nuts. It's like when they sent Big Show back to OVW. He did nothing wrong. He's tried to do his best with everything you've given him, even if he asked for it. It just doesn't make sense to me when you have money on your hands and you're going to waste it like that.
Right.
Because it's their third show. He's on the C-show now.
Okay, I mean, I personally believe that his matches are going to get nothing but better because look at the guys he's going to work with. Eric just said Johnny Gargano. All right, that could be a dream match. Obviously, Adam
Cole.
That's going to be a dream match. Him and Velveteen Dream. Think of what can happen there. Okay.
Okay.
Him and Roddy. Him and Riddle.
And Kyle
him
O'Reilly.
And Ciampa. Right. Oh, fuck Kyle O'Reilly.
Listen,
Kyle
O'Reilly
can go to
you.
Hell.
First of all, he's awesome. But what happens when they all get called up and he's stuck working? What happens when all them get called up and he's stuck working with Tyler Breeze every fucking night?
Hey, it's
another
guy.
Main goal. What?
Okay. Speaking of call-outs, do you think now that NXT is on his own show, you think NXT is more like not like the Metal Metal brand, but more like a preview of see if you can last on the main card of NXT, then we'll send you this Raw SmackDown compared to you using now you have NXT UK and you got those people down there just on a network. You think that's more of those people in the United Kingdom starting out there, then moving up to NXT to see now you're on live TV now and Full Sail, so you're not on the road yet. And then
right.
to see if you're going to actually survive on the main roster. You think it's actually they're looking at it now? Just breaking it down into those three categories?
I think that's what it always was.
Let me just say this. You have NXT UK, and then when the guys get called from NXT UK, they're going to go to the regular NXT. Pete Dunne did, Rhea Ripley did, Imperium, that's what they're doing. They're going to the NXT, to the regular NXT roster. You have basically three stages of WWE right now. NXT UK, then you go to regular NXT, and then you go to the main roster, which is either Raw or SmackDown. Now, and I'm going to try to make sense here, although I don't see it happening. Right now what they're doing with NXT is they're trying to see if these guys are good draws. Good draws on television. Basically,
that makes a good point.
Okay. Basically, what they're trying to do is they're trying to see, okay, can these guys draw a rating? And if they can, then we want to keep them. They're going to make it to the main roster someday. All right. So if they can draw a rate, if they can draw a rating, if they can get a lot of people to want to watch their match, then guess what? Then, you know, these guys, they're going to be stars someday. This is basically NXT on USA is basically just as they want to see if these guys and girls can draw.
Right.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you think NXT needs to go on the road? I talked about this with Doug earlier today, but I think he said no. But it just felt different.
I can't remember. That was 6 hours ago, and I was sober at the time.
Anyway, Doug and Daniel and Cliff, my point is the two shows looked so much different. It felt like an indie show versus a big show. And Daniel pointed this out earlier, too. Well, maybe it was just me. I don't know.
I don't know if they need to go on the road or not. I feel like that the Full Sail vibe has been working for them. Will it continue to work for them on USA? I don't know. I mean, I could see them occasionally going on the road. But they have to keep it, I think, the smaller venues, because I think the smaller venues are what defines the brand.
Do they get desperate and go on the road? Because if AEW continues this ratings, getting big ratings, if they get bigger.
I think they're going to get desperate at some point.
But NXT is not really like I will say like a big draw. If you want to have like to go against AEW, why have a developmental brand go against put it live? We know you're just doing this to develop talent and show how the world is a show. If you really want to start a war,
go up against
why won't you just put Raw or SmackDown. I'll put SmackDown. I think in this case probably SmackDown. we'll go against AEW, but you don't really need to start a war. I mean, the money you can't. It's not going to be the so-called what's name war. It's nothing's going to match the level of the Monday Night War between Raw versus Nitro every week. You're not going. Nobody. There's no way this is going to happen.
Yeah.
If people actually think, knowing that how WWE is with their network and how they're putting their products up, people are not really interested in watching NXT Live. I mean, I'm not even. It's no point. It's a waste of time because I can watch it the next day, and then the NXT Live pay-per-views are on Saturdays. So,
yep. Exactly.
That's no really point of having the so-called war. What are you warring about? And then they said, and then I'm not sure if you, not only did AEW win the money that blew it out, but they said he even had more people actually stayed and rewatch the show when it came rerun at 10 o'clock. People stayed and rewatched the whole show. It just blew them out of the waters.
Yeah.
Okay, and here's the thing, and I know we're going to get into AEW a little bit more later on, but if you look at, like, the quality of matches, again, I haven't necessarily gone through and rewatched NXT yet. I might later, provided, again, I don't pass out. But, like, if you really look at the quality of matches, because a lot of these guys in AEW – like, even though, yes, you know, you have the Bucks, you have Cody, you have Kenny Omega and all that, a lot of these guys in NXT, like, they have that following from the WWE Network. A lot of these guys in AEW are just getting national exposure on TNT, you know, for the first time.
Yeah, true.
And so, like, you have... And again, and I know MJF has been on TV for months, but he's been on MLW on BN Sports, which is seen by like 6 people. Okay? And I like MJF. I think the match he had, and I know we'll get into it later, but I think the match he had on Wednesday was dog shit. But, I mean... He's another one of those guys. Yes, he's been on TV for the last several months, but he's been on a TV show that, unless people pay attention to it on YouTube, nobody's actually watched.
I love MJF.
So,
I think he's Chris Jericho.
And I like him too, and I'm not necessarily saying anything bad about him. I'm just saying is that the guys on NXT, because of the WWE Network, because over 1 million people are subscribed to the fucking thing, people on the network know the NXT people more than we would know the people in AEW.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, you have a lot of ROH people on NXT from
right.
The Undisputed Era to Ciampa to Johnny Gargano and so
no,
on.
Johnny
so
Gargano
forth.
Was not Johnny Gargano was not Ring of Honor. Johnny Gargano he was basically Evolve. Evolve. Well, first of all, Johnny Gargano got his spot in a small time company called Pro Wrestling Ohio.
Okay.
He was there for several years, then he went to Dragon Gate and Evolve. But basically, Johnny Gargano wrestled in Ohio for about 6 years.
Wow.
And that company, like we used to get it when it was on when we had Dish Network. So we used to watch the show all the time. It was a pretty damn good show. I mean, for being a small-time company based in Ohio. I mean, Kenny, who usually does the show here when he's not, you know, doing other things. Somebody better stop me before I go off because we know where my head's at right now. But, you know, Kenny, who usually is on the show with us, you know, he was a huge fan of Pro Wrestling Ohio. As a matter of fact, when Kenny was a booker of a small-time wrestling promotion for a very brief cup of coffee until he got ripped off by another promoter, you know, Kenny worked with a couple of the guys from Pro Wrestling Ohio, where Johnny
couple of guys that actually worked with Johnny Gargano.
Wow. All
right. And Gargano is one of those stories. Gargano is my favorite guy in NXT right now because of
I'm a huge Johnny Gargano fan.
I know you are. if you had a choice of either sleeping with Gargano or his wife, I think you'd actually pick Gargano.
No, I don't think his wife.
Yeah. But the thing is that, like, Gargano has the best story because Gargano basically came from nothing as far as, like, being in the wrestling business goes. He was such a small-time guy, but he built himself up.
How did he become friends with Ciampa? Were they only friends?
I think they just got put together. You know, in NXT, they were both coming in, and Triple H or Regal probably just said, okay, I'm putting the two of you together as a team.
I thought they started in ROH together. That's why I thought he was in ROH. I thought they were
Johnny Gargano was never a Ring of Honor.
I just thought that. My bad. Thanks for the info, Doug.
No problem. Even drunk, I can still help.
Yeah,
I felt like I should have known that since I'm a big Johnny Gargano fan.
No, NXT was what it was. Now I think we should get into AEW. Because, oh my God, it was awesome. First match. First, the promo, the stage, the pyro. Hearing Shivani and Jim Ross on commentary. How awesome was that, Clintus?
That gave me goosebumps.
I felt like actually was watching WCW for the very first time. I mean, I didn't really watch it like when the whole Monday Night Wars. I grew up WWF. I actually started watching the first Night Show when it was first on like the network. That's when I was really following Night Show. Yeah, I asked myself like, how come I never really stopped to watch this when I was younger? Because this was much better than it was. And then having them actually the build up for the first match really helped it. About and them stressing the fact that Cody needed to win this match to keep his title shot alive for Jericho at Full Gear. It's just saying something that they're really trying to emphasize that we're not really going to give anybody just a title shot. You're going to need to If you're the number one, you could be a number one contender today and then lose your title shot tomorrow if you want to lose in matches between now and then.
I love that, yeah.
And here's the thing, though, too. You know, you talk about Shivani and Jim Ross on the call. You guys realize that this is the first live wrestling event that the two of them have called together since January 21st, 1992.
Wow. 27 years ago.
Exactly.
What was the date again?
January 21st, 1992.
Wow, that's like 3 weeks before my brother was born.
Yeah, that was, and the last match they ever called together was a six-man tag. It was Arn Anderson, Larry Zbysko, and beautiful Bobby Eaton versus Barry Windham, Dustin Rhodes, and Ron Simmons.
Wow.
And I bring that up because the first match they called together involved Dustin's brother. Or the first match they called together since then, obviously on AEW, involved Dustin's brother, Cody.
Wow.
Damn.
How weird is that? I bet they did that on purpose, too.
To be honest with you, I don't think they thought of that. I think the only person that could actually think of that would actually be me.
You don't think Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross came up with that?
Well, Jim Ross maybe thought of it.
You gosh, you bastard.
Did you also notice how they brung up about the first match they actually called together? I think the first match they actually called together was on Night Show was Brian Pillman versus Juventud Guerrero or some loser.
Juventud Liger. That was the. Yeah. They didn't call that together, but that was actually the first match that aired on WCW Monday Nitro back in '95.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was trying to compare that to that match with Cody and his, the match he was throwing at the time.
Right.
All right.
Now it's the first match they called together on the network.
And the first match they called together?
Yeah.
I think it is, because I think they started working together in late 87 when Crockett, which is the company Tony Schiavone worked for, bought the UWF, which is the company that Jim Ross worked for at the time.
Oh, wow. Oh, sorry, Clint. Go ahead.
No, I didn't say anything. Go.
But we'll probably actually get into that a little bit tomorrow when we do our Bam Bam Bigelow episode, because I think that kind of ties into Bam Bam a little bit.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Daniel.
So, Sammy Guevara, I mean, we've seen him a little bit before. Basically an unknown. I mean, I've seen him on the road to AEW on TNT and all that. Did they not do a great job at making this kid look like a star, even though he lost? He looks like he's going to be a rising star in the company.
I thought he was a babyface.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did kind of like the part where he pulled Brandy in the front of Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
So he was doing that, and Zach just died right on the eye. I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Right.
I mean, I kind of actually did not want to watch the DVR part of it. I was like, you know what, I'll probably just watch when I get home, watch it live, and still watch DVR. Well, that sounded like into what I was, and I just got home late. I got home late, and I'm like, wow, I don't think I want to watch the beginning. I can watch it from the middle and then rewatch it again. Three or four times in one night.
I mean, Cody is super over. You know, the crowd loves Cody. And they did a great job with Sammy, because that's how you build a star. Not only do you have him in the first match and he lost, whatever. And by the way, it's cool that Cody beat him with a roll-up, because it makes it seem like anything can happen. You know, he didn't just bust his finish and make him look bad. He beat him with a roll-up, so he barely beat him. And then the kid comes out later with Jericho and kicks everybody's ass. So you take an unknown guy like that and you put him in the big picture like that, and he looks like somebody, you know? That's how you build somebody. And that was just one show.
Yeah.
And now you want to see what's going to happen with him
either
in the future. No, it's not done. Not whatsoever. I think we actually, not like an NWO, obviously, but I think we do have a new alliance on our hands with Swagger, Jericho, Guevara, and Santana and Ortiz.
Oh, man.
Jericho's fuck. Huh.
Good. I mean, I kind of like it, and I was really happy to see
too.
I liked it too, and then I also loved how everybody just started chanting "We the People." I mean, I love that character, the Great American Jack Swagger character. He was my favorite version of Jack Swagger. And then when people started chanting "We the People," I was like, "Yo, this is great."
I actually remember, and I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but I remember actually, Glynis, when you and I worked together, you would sometimes go ahead and you put your hand over your heart and just start screaming, "We the People," because you were such a huge, you know, supporter of Jack Swagger. Daniel, I know you are too, but we're not going to get into how I feel about him until later.
Hey, I like him too. I love that character.
Here's the thing, is that Jack Swagger, I don't believe in Jack Swagger as a – well, first of all, I don't believe in him as a babyface, so I'm glad they actually have him as a heel.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily believe in Jack Swagger as a main eventer. But I do believe in him as somebody that can protect Jericho.
I think that's what he's there for.
And I also believe in Jack Swagger as somebody that's really good at ruining feel-good sentimental moments. What did I call him the other day, Dan?
You looked at me in the eyes and you said Jack Swagger is testicular cancer. Which I still don't know how to receive that, because I think he's
a
great talent.
That either.
I mean, Doug's a weirdo, but I still love you. But Jack Swagger, or Jake Hager, or whatever the fuck they're calling him, he's got the potential. You know, JR loves him, so I think they're going to work with him, and they're going to make him. I can see him like a Brock Lesnar badass type for AEW, because he's the biggest guy there.
Yeah.
Oh, they got a bunch of little guys, so he can be the guy that beats the shit out of everybody. And he can make the big fight feel.
To be honest with you, I could see him next week or the week after, something like that, going after somebody like maybe like a Joey Janela and making Janela tap out right away. Or even like beating the shit out of a guy like Darby Allin.
The next biggest guy is, what's his name, the big guy with who am I thinking of? Come on, Doug.
Eric, I'm drunk. You're on your own.
He's with
By the way,
what can I think of his name? He used to be on Big Brother.
Oh,
Luchasaurus.
Thank you.
Yeah.
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 We'll see him next
time.
Yeah. Do you guys know the main event for next week? Have you heard that yet?
No.
No.
We got Hangman Page and Dustin Rhodes in a tag match versus Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho.
What?
Wow.
Yep, that's the main event. I'm just reading it on Cody's Instagram now.
Holy shit.
That should be interesting.
So,
and what's the main event for What's the main event for NXT next week? Gulak and Real... I can't even talk.
Gulak and Leo Rush.
Thank you. For the Cruiserweight title,
11.
Right?
Yeah.
Huh?
I was going to leave at 11, but I don't know if I can leave the range to you now, Doug. So, keep going with AEW. This... Oh, fuck. Was the second match Pac and Hangman Page, or was that the third match? The second match
was
MJF
and
Randy Cutler,
right? The second match was that piece of shit that MJF was in.
It wasn't that bad.
Randy Cutler.
Oh, it was dog shit.
It was supposed to be a squash match.
I mean, to be honest with you, it would actually have to be better in order to be dog shit.
Dude. Every match can't be a 20-minute barn burner. You got to have the 3-minute matches.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They made that Brandon Cutler look like a bitch.
MJF's a heel, and he distracted the referee. He did what he had to do to get the victory.
I'm just saying. All right. They made that guy look like a bitch.
Get him on the show.
And,
I was about to say, we almost landed a fucking interview with the guy.
Yeah, well, you know what? I already told you guys in the first place, I want nothing to do with somebody that sucks the dicks of the Young Bucks.
Oh, God. Well, there that goes.
Dan,
sorry, Brandon.
The show.
All right. Well, moving on.
Or Daniel.
No, don't let him go ahead. So then we got So I guess we'll just overlook that one then, because we know how Doug feels. Quinneth, what did you think about Pac versus Hangman Page?
Oh man, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the match. And I think having Pac start strong makes you want Pac start strong, especially after his match with Kenny Omega, which I want to get into another thing, because I'm really disappointed in a way how Kenny Omega is being used. I really think they want to actually start out on the slow losing streak that he's on now.
Yeah. I mean,
the match was good. I liked it. And I was glad that he did not leave. The rumors weren't true that he wasn't actually going to leave.
Fuck that. So you agree with Pac going over?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he might be the next champion.
I mean, him and Jericho would put on a good match. I just don't think they need to do heel versus heel right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if he has the best record and wins or loss really matters, then I guess you might have to do it.
Yeah.
I actually think that with Pac, Pac is going to, you know, keep being on this role that he's on. First of all, the match with him and Hangman Page, I thought was actually the second best match of the night.
Okay.
Almost. I mean, there's one match that I actually, actually hold higher than that, and you guys are actually going to, be shocked when we get to it again, if I'm still, if I haven't passed out yet. But the fact that, Pac got the win, and they're really, they're stacking the deck against him, the guy on the horse.
Hey, man, Page.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
They're stacking the deck against him right now by having him lose two big matches in a row. And now he's got to go in the main event. He's got to go in the main event next week, him and Dustin, against Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
They're really making you feel sorry for this guy.
Yeah, Adam Page and Kenny Omega. Sorry, Doug.
I was just going to say, they're really making you feel sorry for Hangman Page, which is what they need to do. They need to build sympathy for this guy.
Yeah. I agree. Now, let me ask you guys this. Are you surprised that both Kenny and Page are both on the losing streak? And that's starting them slow.
Well, let's not forget that. Hangman's had a pretty good streak. Before the two losses, he beat Kip Sabian, he won the Fatal 4-Way, he won the Battle Royal. So, I mean, Omega started out pretty slow, but Hangman's got some wins.
Oh, yeah, that's right, I forgot. But, yeah, the only loss he got was Jericho, and then last week, against Puck. Yeah, you're right, Daniel. My bad.
Very good.
And I felt like AEW had, like, a bunch of, like, pre-other shows. They only had, what, they started out with All Out, and then you had the Fight for the Following, and then Fighter Fest.
Double or Nothing.
Double or Nothing. Fighter Fest. And then, so it's not like you have, everybody actually has time to build these so-called win-loss total records going into the match. And having
that's true.
So you also gotta look at it like that. It's not like now you have a weekly show. You want to start seeing these wins and losses and how they adapt and show how these superstars adapt to using these in their careers and title pictures and so on and so forth.
That's very true. Good point.
I think that, like, with Pac right now, they're really going to build Pac up to be the guy. Like, when Jericho has to lose the title, if he has to go on a band tour with Fozzy or something like that, or, whatever, they're going to build Pac up as the next big top heel.
Yeah.
Not MJF?
Well, I think they're doing it more with Pac right now. Because Pac got two big wins in a row.
Yeah, I think MJF is going to be the main card champion until they feel he's ready for me to carry the company.
All right, what did MJF do that was so impressive? Okay.
He beat Brandon Cutler in 2 minutes.
Okay, he beat a guy that just got a job because he's a friend of the Bucks.
Still impressive.
I'm not impressed. I'm impressed with Pac because he beat Omega and he beat Hangman Page. I'm not impressed with MJF because he wears a scarf and sucks the dick of Cody. I'm not impressed with that. You want to impress me? Get a couple of bigger wins. You know, you go out, you beat Page or you beat Omega. Don't beat some bald-headed guy that hadn't wrestled in 7 years. You want to beat a bald-headed guy, get me in the ring. You want to beat a bald-headed guy, get me in the ring. All right, that'll really impress people is if you beat the shit out of me. All right, MJF, not impressive right now. Yeah, he knows how to get heat because he knows how to talk and piss people off. But guess what? Pac is the more impressive. MJF, not impressive. All right, who gives a
when
shit?
When do we see Puck and Cody? Philadelphia, maybe?
You're going to see it. I mean, I think it should happen soon.
No way.
I think
it's
should be
in Philly. Well, we haven't announced, but Jericho and his guys are supposed to defend the title in Philadelphia, right? Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Who you guys think should get the title shot?
Here's a shocker. I think it could be Dustin.
Okay. Yeah, but if wins and losses matter,
I think Dustin's going
to
pin Jericho.
They would have to give it to somebody that's got a winning record, right?
So who do you think, Dad?
I mean, unfortunately, and I just got done burying the guy, so this is really not going to make any sense, but I'm almost thinking to kind of build up the fact that he's going to be facing Cody, I think they're going to give it to Scarf Boy.
You know, MJF's got a couple losses, too.
Yeah, but he's also got a pedophile for an uncle.
So, Clinton, who do you think should face for the title?
Thank you for ignoring me.
I mean, I'm kind of leaning to it. I was impressed with the whole Hangman Page pop. If I had to pick, I would rather see Pac versus Jericho in Philly, especially after Pac's 2 last wins, very impressive. So I will give the title shot to Pac.
And now, do you think Cody would interfere in that match and cost Puck, and then Puck will say, "Well, I should be in. I should get a rematch, and they make a triple threat full gear."
Probably. Yeah, I mean, you never know. I will think so, but if you want to really want to talk about interfering, you guys. Do we have any more matches to go on before we go to the main event? Or did we miss something else?
The women's match.
Oh, yeah, okay. We'll go to the women's match and I'll bring up my point later.
I said that women's match was pretty easy. Yeah.
Huh? Well, my point...
No, go ahead, Clint.
Oh, no, but I was saying, I was talking about interference. How the interference that happened with John Moxley in the main event, and how somehow that 6-minute tag became into like a handicap automatic. Like, kind of doesn't, I think that's really killed what I did not really like. I just feel the match should have been like thrown out and have the bad guys do what the bad guys could have done in the first place. Instead of having like a 3-on-2 handicap, knowing that Omega's out, taken out by Moxley in a VIP table.
Yeah.
I did hear an interaction in the back.
Him putting them through the glass table was fucking awesome.
That was awesome. Doug, are you still there?
I'm still here. Are we not going to talk about Riho and Nyla Rose?
Oh, yeah, we
were. Save that for last because that was a title change.
Yeah, we can bring it up.
About it.
Huh?
Yeah,
what did you think about that?
Yeah.
One of you need, just one of you can talk.
Go ahead, Doug.
No, I was going to say, I asked one of you guys a question. All three of you answered it once. You're supposed to moderate this thing, Daniel. Come on.
Quit drinking Jack, Doug, and answer the question.
What?
What did you think of Nyla Rose versus Riho?
I actually thought it was a good match.
I did too. I was happy for her.
I mean, I think they made the right move by putting the belt on Riho. I mean, you don't put your women's title, you don't make your first women's champion, you know, a person that at one point had a penis.
Yeah. We're not going to go any more further than that.
I'm just saying.
What was that here on the
air? What?
It was nice being on the air while it lasted.
Yeah.
We had a good run, fellas.
I mean, tell you the truth, I think that was the worst match of the night, though. It was so many, like, botches through that match. I couldn't really get into it.
Now
there
were some
things. There were botches. Clintus, you had a fucking 300-pound, whatever the hell she is, in the ring with, you know, a woman that weighed 15 pounds. Of course there's going to be botches.
Nyla Rose is not good in the ring.
Bulimic supermodels are bigger than Riho.
I mean, it was a good match, but there was some mistakes.
Yeah.
I do think Riho can work very well.
I'm like, I'm glad Riho didn't get the title. But,
oh, go ahead. Sorry, Clint.
Yeah, no. No, I'm like, I'm glad I did. She did get the title. I wasn't a big fan of it. I wasn't a big fan of the matchup anyway. I mean, you look at the two. I didn't really think, and I didn't really know anything about. I just overheard that she was like a transsexual, and I had nothing against that. I mean, you do what you gotta do, but I would have never put her in the women's title match to begin with. I mean, just for that gauge. I mean, it's a women's title match. Has someone, I would have put Awesome Kong instead of
I would have put Awesome Kong.
I do agree with Clintus on this point. Now, Clintus, you know, cleaned it up a hell of a lot more than I did, but Clintus is also sober. But the thing is that, like, for a women's title match, and I've got nothing against Nyla Rose, all right? First of all, she could probably whoop my ass, all right? So I'm not going to say anything bad about her. I've got nothing against her. You know, she's doing a great thing. She, you know, she's breaking down a lot of barriers. Okay, all right, exactly. Got nothing against somebody. I've got nothing against anybody that's transgender. I'm just saying.
I don't
saying
think anybody does in this show. No.
Exactly. We're not saying super anything, good. You know, we're not saying anything racist. We're not saying anything prejudiced. It's just, as an opinion, it's just that, like, because it is a women's title match and it is your first ever, they made the right call. The right call was to put the belt on Riho. Now, the match, and Clint, this is where you and I are actually going to disagree. I actually love that match. That was actually my favorite match of the night because, to me, it was a feel-good moment. It was a feel-good moment that Riho won the championship.
He's kind of cute.
I mean, I have nothing against Riho winning the title. That's not my point. I just say that the match itself, because it was just so out of place. And then when I finally did my homework and found out about what just her, I'm like, I would have never put her in the match itself. I mean, I had nothing against it, but it's like a your first women's title match. I would like rather see like Awesome Kong. Let's put it that way. I would think Awesome Kong would have been like a much better fit to for that. Just because I think it's more expensive. I mean, it's your first women's title match. And then you can also tell how jacked up she's been. Like, I was surprised Rio even won the match. How bossed up and screwy that match was, to in my eyes. I was surprised she actually won it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the botches seemed on Nyla Rose, though. Because she just didn't seem to be in the right place in the right time on a lot of those things. And, you know, there was some mistakes. Nobody's perfect. I still think the match went well for what it was. You know, you got someone that big facing someone that small. It's not going to look like the smoothest thing in the world.
Exactly.
But it still went well. I mean, I don't think it was the best match on the card, but I do think it served its purpose, and like Doug said, it was a feel-good moment. So we got anything else to go on this one, guys, or you guys want to get to the main event?
Well, and here's the thing, this is the last thing I'm going to bring up about this match, is the fact that this match, I mean, and people have even said it, because I listened to the review that Orange Cassidy's twin, you know, the Sala Monster, did for the show, and somebody that called in to that review was at the show said that Riho winning the championship got the biggest reaction of the night.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it was title match, so yeah.
So the fact that somebody won a championship, the fact that somebody won a championship, I mean, it actually meant something to the people that were in attendance.
Exactly. And because she was the underdog, and nobody expected that.
Right.
Moving on to
main event. So you got the Elite, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus Chris Jericho and the former LAX, Santana and Ortiz. Great match, a lot of interferences. A lot of people are kind of speculating, you know, why the ref didn't ring the bell, because they didn't say anything about no DQ or anything, because Moxley came in. And to me, it didn't take me out of the match at all. How do you guys feel about the Moxley interference? Clint, you were talking about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Well, like I said before, I mean, that's what, to me, I think a lot, I was watching the video. They said, in the video I watched, they just said with that Moxley interference and the ref not called for D, kind of gave it that old WCW type feel, because a lot of times the WCW, they did the same thing. Someone will jump, interfere, nobody will call the bell, the match is gone. And it's like blatant interference. And now I didn't hear. And now nobody heard the bell.
I don't think they called the bell. Oh, sorry, Claire.
No, like, I didn't hear
Eric,
the bell.
Make your point.
I don't think they called the bell because it was so early in the match that they did that. And there was still time left in the show. So there was no point of calling the bell that early, and would just ruin the whole match and took the air out of the arena. And you don't want to end the show that way.
I think they didn't call the bell because all pro wrestling referees are useless. Okay.
Maybe
well,
all referees
you look
are
at
useless.
To be honest with you, you know, most of them are. But a referee, a pro wrestling referee, and I know they're trying to treat AEW like a sport and all that, and I get that. But all pro wrestling referees are supposed to act like they have their heads up their asses. When somebody comes out to interfere in a match, you know, regular referees are supposed to restrain them or whatever. These referees look at it like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. It's immoral. Did they really fucking give a shit? They're going to do what they want to do anyway, whether it's immoral or not.
Yeah.
So I don't think the referee called for the bell because, these referees are supposed to keep up with the perception that pro wrestling referees are fucking stupid. That's why the
good
referee
point.
Didn't call for the bell, because he's not supposed to have a fucking brain.
Daniel?
I agree. But but the thing is, Doug, that's fundamental pro wrestling. The heel has to be a heel, and the heel has to distract the referee so the heel can be a heel. So there's no – if you're sports-centric or not – no, hold on. If you're sports-centric or not, you know, it's good to make it look like a sport, and I understand that. But you have to trick the referee to be a good heel and to get that stuff over. I don't think it needs to happen back-to-back like what happened with MJF and Ben Pac. I think that was overkill. But I do think that that's fundamental heel stuff, and you can't eliminate that from pro wrestling.
Well, first of all,
exactly.
here's the thing, is that like the whole Pac and Paige thing. Look at who the referee was. The referee in that match was Earl Hebner, who's 150 years old. Okay, it takes him 2 hours to turn around. That's how fucking old he is.
No disrespect to him. He's a legend.
Yeah, no, he is a legend. I'm saying all this out of good humor because I like to make fun of old people.
He's becoming one of them.
Well, yeah, and I like to make fun of myself too. But the thing
I know
is
that all too well.
Yeah. But the thing is that, like, with the referees, again, you know, referees make themselves look way too stupid. Like, I think that's my point. I know that the heels are supposed to get themselves over by fooling the referees, but I think these referees fall for it, like, way too easy.
Yeah. I agree.
I agree with that. And I'm actually going to sign off, fellas. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Eric, I'll let you cover the outro tonight. Everyone, have a good night.
Okay. Bye, Dan.
Later.
See you, Dan. I'll see you downstairs in a few minutes.
All right, later.
By the way, it's his turn to get drunk.
Do you have any final thoughts before we give you 7 minutes?
No.
You want to talk about SmackDown a little bit? Then the show?
Well, hold on. Before, you know, we talked earlier about Swagger getting involved. First of all, we got to mention, like, when it got turned to into a 3-on-2 handicap match, it was still a great match.
Yes, it was.
Go ahead, Clint.
No, I have to say, I have nothing against, like, the whole thing. It's just having a referee just going down there, it's like blatant interference. I mean, the match really was like, I didn't feel like nobody was even ready to start the match when Moxley came out. He just sat there, and Kenny Omega just sensed something was wrong. And then that awesome brawl. I mean, I enjoyed the brawl.
Yeah.
Oh, the brawl, I think, was the best part of the whole thing. But, like, and again, though, like, I'll say this about the Young Bucks. I hate their guts, but, boy, can they go in that ring. But Jericho, you know, catching Nick Jackson with the Codebreaker and then hitting Matt with the Judas Elbow. I mean, to me, that was actually a really good main event.
It was. It was better than NXT's main event.
Right. Now, do we want to get into SmackDown? Because we only have a few minutes left, right, Eric?
Yeah, I'll give my thoughts, and then we can each give our thoughts a little bit, and then end the show. So my thoughts are, as much as I'm not a huge, I mean, I like Kofi as a person, but I just didn't, you know how I felt about that. But I didn't think he was a, I mean, I think he was a good champion, but I didn't think he should have been champion. But anyway, I didn't think it should have been a 5-second match. I was surprised at that, but
I'm not, because I think they had this whole thing with how do you pronounce that guy's name anyway?
Cain Velasquez.
Thank you. Yep. I wouldn't have gotten it right.
One of my favorite UFC fighters. So
yeah, well, okay. First of all, I don't give a shit about him because he's a UFC fighter, and I think they all suck. So
I was
to be honest
out, so.
With you. So, to be honest with you, as far as this goes, I don't give a fuck. I don't like UFC.
Yeah.
I think Dana White should get thrown in front of a train. So, I mean, personally, like, as cool as it may have been for some people, I don't care. If they do Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez at a pay-per-view, all I'm going to say is I don't care if the Sunday night football game is the Jets and the Lions. I'm still switching to that because I don't give a shit about – I don't give a shit about two UFC fighters going at it.
They're probably
going to
play it on Sunday. So.
You know, then I'll be watching Indianapolis and Kansas City.
I don't care.
Right. I just – it's hard for me to care about two guys that come from a world that I just don't give a shit about. And I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody that's a UFC fan.
No, that's cool. I mean, everybody has the right to their own opinions. So I understand.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. UFC is not for everybody.
Right. So the fact that they did that, again, I've made my opinions known about Brock Lesnar. I know, you know, when we had Barry Horowitz, when we interviewed him last week, you know, he was talking good about Brock Lesnar, which, you know, he's entitled to his opinion. But I just don't see the appeal of UFC guys. I think they're tough. And I would never talk like this to one to their face because they'd beat the shit out of me. Although I'm pretty sure I could take Dana White.
Okay, all right. Knowing how you feel about UFC guys in the wrestling, how would you feel but when CM Punk went from wrestling to UFC?
I thought it was stupid.
Still great. Do you still grade that on that same – I just want to know. If you still look at it like that same way, that it's UFC guys coming up.
I felt like it was a bad move on his part because I knew he was going to get his ass kicked.
Oh, everybody knew that.
Everybody did.
Okay. I thought it was a bad move. I mean, yes, I give him kudos for trying, but I knew what was going to happen. I thought it was a bad move on his part.
So did I.
Okay. But that's just how I feel about it. As far as the rest of SmackDown, I thought it was cool when The Rock and Becky Lynch beat the hell out of Baron Corbin. Everybody knows why I like that. Because Corbin had a – Corbin is the perfect person to make a fool out of. Okay? Hell, I did it. I did it, and that's why he blocked me on Twitter. Okay.
Are you surprised?
Go ahead.
John Cena didn't show up.
Yes and no. John Cena's got a whole new life right now.
Yeah, but The Rock showed up. I mean,
yeah,
he probably paid him $1 billion.
Whatever the fuck your name is. They're in LA. LA is where they shoot a lot of movies. Rock was probably there shooting the movie.
They probably paid him $1 million. I mean, more than a million.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
I just thought John Cena would have been. I thought Stone Cold was going to show up. They advertised him.
Yeah. Eric, are we almost out of time?
I think so. 30 seconds.
Okay. All right, so real quick. Anybody else have anything really quickly to say about SmackDown tonight?
I thought it was a B show, a B plus show.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, I'm really disappointed. The whole, I build off the whole Kofi Kingston thing and Brock Lesnar, and they get to a 2 second match, a typical Brock
right.
Lesnar match. It's just no way. I mean, having Lesnar, guy come out and beat out Brock Lesnar. Of course, I look at it as cool, because tell you the truth. If it wasn't for guys like Brock Lesnar, and then I probably would not have watched UFC.
Right.
It's just for the another aspect. I want to see how he's doing. I follow CM Punk there. That got
right.
me into Rampage, Jeff Jackson, and then Ronda Rousey. I watched her matches there, and then watching her transform UFC into.
Right.
And use it in the ring. It's just
all right,
amazing.
Clintus, we're almost out of time here. So
we do
have to wrap this up. So tomorrow, I assume we're all going to be on tomorrow for the Bam Bam Bigelow episode, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
all right, Eric, we're going to wrap this
tomorrow.
Right. Well, we're not going to start till 9.
Okay.
All right. Eric, we got to wrap up right now, right?
Yep.
All right. So thank you for joining us, everybody, tonight. This has been, you know, your Wrestling Week in Review. Join us tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern time, for the Bam Bam Bigelow episode.
Yep. Thank you, Clintus. Thank you, Doug.
All right. Thank
you,
guys. Thanks. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow, Clintus.
All right. Bye.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye, Doug. Bye, Clint.
Bye.
Bye.